Yes, we are the Captain's Quadrant, and we are part of the Last Days of Disco on the Strange New Pod channel. What's up, everybody? I'm Joe Dove, and with me is the other disco dancer.
Jason. I'm a dancing queen on the scene, barely 17.
Really? We are going to get into the legacy of Star Trek Discovery. We're going to get into all the wonderful things that made us love the show and reasons why we are sad to see it go. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning of the first season, get your thoughts on some of the spaces that were happening there.
Thanks.
Jason, what did you... is that space? Is that the spaceship? Are you literally...
That is the spaceship. Yes, of course I am. Where else would I be?
Yeah, all right. I should know better. But yeah, what was your reaction to the announcement of Discovery back in season one?
Excitement. I'm not going to lie. We hadn't had Star Trek on TV in what, like 15 years by that point? I mean, yeah. I was excited. I was elated. I was like, finally, Star Trek is coming back to TV where, in my opinion, it belongs. I love the movies, but Star Trek's main forte has always been television. So to see it come back did my heart good and still does to this day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when they announced the main protagonist was going to be Sonequa Martin-Green, I was ecstatic. And, you know, I've mentioned on many occasions the likeness to one of my best friends growing up. Oh, you know, it's like hanging out with my best friend, but now she's a space captain and she's badass. This is amazing. I'm all in. Let's go for it. When the show actually started and Michelle Yeoh was attached to the project, and we didn't really know too much about what her role was going to be, but we know this was going to be a type of story where the main character is not going to start out as captain a la Deep Space Nine, and there was going to be some world building, so to speak. I was still excited, and when I watched the first episode, I thought it was great. I am going to have a hot take. I don't think those Klingon suits were that bad. I think they looked pretty cool.
I don't think they look that bad either.
Yeah, I thought that, like, having the, like, blood scars on them and, you know, having them different colors was really neat. Like, having blue Klingons and the big bad albino one. I thought they did a great job with reimagining the Klingons. And you know what? How many times have the Klingons changed through our history of Star Trek?
Yes, I was so amused by everybody who was saying, oh, those are my Klingons. My Klingons don't look anything like that. My Klingons. Well, number one, they're not your Klingons.
No.
Number two, you do know that they were originally white actors in, like, brown face, right?
Yeah.
And it was not until 1979 that they added the ridges. And even then, they evolved and changed and changed and changed. Even Worf's forehead changed during the show. No one ever brings that up. So whenever they brought up the Klingons and they're like, oh, this is what the Klingons look now, I'm just like, it's different, but you know what? It's scary. Mm-hmm. They look like scary customers. I will admit, I am kind of glad they toned that look down a little bit.
Okay.
But the disco Klingons in the first couple of seasons, super scary individuals.
Yeah.
And I think it only helped the threat of them. And, you know, we had that great character played by the late, great Kenneth Mitchell in the first season. Yeah. I cannot remember the character's name. It's probably sounded like something you're coughing up in the back of your throat. Kenneth Mitchell played so many great Klingon characters in this show. And of course, we had pre-Ash Tyler Vok. You know, Vok, what a great Klingon character. And the Chancellor, the mother. She was great too. And I at least want her revisited. I really hope she shows up on Strange New Worlds because she was a terrific character. A charismatic leader she was.
Right. Because when she showed up in that giant warship at the end of Sutri's Sorrow, which we reviewed not too long ago, we never saw her again because they jumped into the future. 900 years it was, right?
Yeah, 900. Yeah. That's actually got my favorite moment with her. There's so many great moments with that character, but whenever the Cleave ship hits something at one point, and you know, Ash Tyler is there with her. She goes down hard, and he comes over there to help her up, and she comes up and her face is bleeding, and she's going,
yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is such a Klingon character. So yeah, you know, aesthetically they are different, but they're still Klingons. And right. As they say, remain Klingon.
You know, when season two hit, after the madness that was season one, we were talking about Lorca before. Lorca, I thought, was a great character and ultimately could have been, if they didn't kill him off, if somehow he escaped that demise and popped up again in several seasons, I thought he would be a great play against Michael Burnham, because he would almost, he still has that love interest with her. And then, yeah, creepy. It's like kind of how Gul Dukat was with Kira. Yeah. But, you know, if he was seeking some higher or greater power to make him the ultimate power in the universe, it would have been a really cool reflection to Deep Space Nine, because I thought that character had a lot of potential. But season Jason two,
Jason Isaacs is just incredible in everything he does.
And he's the dad in Harry Potter as well, isn't he?
He was Draco Malfoy's father. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
He was one of the voice actors on Avatar: The Last Airbender. He was wasn't he in Peter Pan, like that adaptation of Peter Pan?
Yeah.
Of course, one of my favorite movies, Event Horizon. He was in that movie.
Yes. I love that movie.
Liberati to Esther. It says, save yourself from hell.
Yeah.
Sick. I think that's what the critics said, too.
I like that movie. I don't know why.
I love that movie. That movie.
Yeah, awesome. It gets undeserved hate. Yes. But when we got to season two, we got Space Daddy, Anson Mount.
Oh, yes. Pike's Peak. Yes.
Pike's Peak arrived. And
Pike's Peak was just Pike's Hill at that point, but it was.
Yeah, it hadn't quite.
It was growing.
Yeah.
My favorite season of Discovery. Really? I thought that season was fantastic and had some absolutely amazing episodes in them. One of them, An Opal for Charon, was, I thought, just amazing. It's that one where Saru was dying.
Oh, yeah.
And that scene where Michael Burnham comes down to say goodbye to him was the most heartbreaking thing ever. And I can't remember if it was a probe or the alien archive letting the ship go. It was such a huge, that was a Star Trek plot right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody who says, oh, Discovery, not Star Trek. I'm just like, have you even watched the show, or do you just have this pre-programmed bullcrap in your head the entire time?
Probably the latter. But there was a lot of going-ons with the crew, especially with Stannis and his partner, the wonderful, wonderful chief medical officer, who also was ship's counselor for a majority.
Yes, Dr. Culver, which I love. Dr. Culver. Wilson Cruz is just such a cool guy.
Yeah,
him and Anthony Rapp are so active on social media, and they talk to fans all the time.
Yeah,
I shared a meme one time about Wilson Cruz and his workout routine, and you know, it was probably insane. It wasn't naughty, but it was kind of naughty, and he responded to it, and I was just kind of like, ah! he knows.
Oh no, we can't be in the same place at the same time. He's gonna get a restraining order. I'm assuming he had like one of those sick workouts where he's like on the bike lifting weights and rowing.
I think he's doing the One Punch Man workout where he, you know, a million setups, a million push-ups, and I run 20 miles every morning.
Jesus.
He is in incredible shape. Like, it's just like, whoever puts him in a uniform does a disservice to humanity every day.
Wow. All right. You heard it here first, folks. Get that man out of his uniform. And the
respectfully,
other
thing, though, in service to the story.
Yeah. Yeah. So when they added Pike in, we still got a lot of the original cast to get a lot of good screen time. We got really in depth and up close with Saru. As you mentioned, he was dying at one point. We got a lot of love for Tilly. Tilly's one of my favorite characters
on the series. I am still silly for Tilly.
Yes. She's
great.
And I love the way she presents herself, her mannerisms, and like when she gets nervous, she gets really chatty. And I'm like, oh, I do that.
Yeah. I like that we have a character who is not, what is the word I'm looking for? She is still unsure of herself and she is still nervous. Because yes, whenever you are on a starship, you are playing with the Beatles, and she is Ringo Starr.
Yes.
No offense, Ringo. I love you.
No offense, Ringo. But I can't believe these guys on this podcast told me these things. I'm Ringo Starr.
I'm Ringo Starr. I wrote a song one time. They really liked it, and they put it on the fridge for me. We're going to get an angry letter from Ringo. I can't believe you said these mean things to me about I was going to tune in to watch nice things about Discovery, and you started insulting me for no reason. I'm going to get Paul to say mean things to you if he will return my phone calls. Anyway,
oh,
I love you, Ringo. I'm just playing. But yeah, I like Tilly because there's a lot of speculation that she's on the spectrum.
Really?
And Oh, yes. I've seen a lot of people say that she's probably like high functioning on the spectrum. I'm all for that. And I like that they've never just outwardly said it.
Yeah.
I think that it's one of the many things that you can celebrate about Discovery is that this show is inclusive AF. It includes everyone. And I really think that is what the toxic fans don't like. Is that it is including everyone. And
yes,
get over it. That's all I can say is just get over it. This is the way Star Trek is. Infinite diversity in infinite combinations. Like it or leave it. Preferably leave it out the nearest airlock. It's back
there. You go. Pop
I'll
that
shut
bad
the door
boy
behind
over.
You. Transphobes, get the airlock.
Yes, yes. And another thing that I got to say about season two is we really got up close and personal with the ship.
Beautiful ship.
I think this ship is amazing. I
love them extra long nacelles.
Yeah. I love that there's a cutout in the center of the ship. I thought that was a really cool choice.
I'm going to go back to the toxic fans again.
Oh, no.
I love how all of them loved cutouts in the secondary hull until Discovery came along, and then all of a sudden they were just like, that doesn't make any sense. Why is that there?
I didn't read that. I was just one thing I thought everybody agreed on was the ship was cool.
Yeah, I think the ship is awesome.
And I
definitely think it looks better than it did in the preview. Remember whenever they showed the rough idea what the ship was going to look like, and we're all sitting there going, it's not terrible, but I have notes. Well, they read the notes, and the ship looks great. And I'm sorry, I love the turntable hull design.
You
spin me right around, baby, right around. And then whenever it does a little whoop, boof, I love that. I'm sorry, I love it. Every time the ship does it, I just kind of go.
And of course, season two wraps up with them saving the day from Control. Control, I thought, was a very cool villain to come into after Lorca. I thought he was a weird, like, sentient being akin to the Swarm from the Star Trek Beyond. I thought there was some type of like connection there, like an AI connection.
I mean, it could be. I don't know. Two different universes at that point.
Right. That's the other thing.
Maybe that's what happened to Control in the Kelvin universe, is that it just kind of like went to Ultimate and just like stayed there or something.
Yeah, I never really.
Yeah, it was a cool season finale. I think it's the best season finale that Discovery's done. Just watching the Enterprise and Discovery fight side by side, and that super emotional scene where Discovery goes into the future, and you're seeing Ash's reaction, and you're seeing Princess, you're seeing her reaction, and she's sitting there going, go, you know, she's excited for them, but she's sad at the same time. There's just so many different feelings there, and it was great. We said it during our review of it. If that had been Discovery's last episode, I think I would have been happy with it ending
there.
But I'm glad it didn't, because they're still giving us goodness.
Yes, yes. Because when they jump into the future in the season three arc, we get new characters, including Books, who I absolutely adore.
There is one character that we get, though, that I think is the best character on Discovery.
Who's that?
That would be Grudge.
Oh, the cast. The best character. I thought you were going to say Michael Grudge. Chan, our good buddy.
Michael Chan, of course, but I say Grudge is the best character. If we could have a Michael Chan Grudge episode, I think that would be cool. Amazing.
Yeah, shout out to him and Grudge. She's a queen.
She is a queen, and she's massive.
Yeah,
she's a massive queen. Probably a Maine Coon, yeah.
Yeah.
Before Discovery ends, I just want to see one episode where they hook Grudge up to a Universal Translator.
Oh, that would be fun.
They have a comic book where they follow Grudge, and Grudge's inner monologue, I think, is so hilarious because it's like, "Your book has offended me, therefore I will not allow him to look at me for an entire week." I love that so much.
Yeah. With the expansion of the crew, we also get a new chief engineer in Tignatara,
She was there the previous season, though.
Right, in season two, She became more prominent in season three.
Somebody's going to nitpick us for that, but yes.
There's always one. But I thought she was delightful. Yeah, because she was there for the Red Angel arc. That's how they found her. Yep.
Yes, but, Tignataro is... I know I said Grudge, but I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Jet Reno is my favorite Discovery character.
She's
and I know Tignataro's schedule is stacked because everybody wants a piece of her. And I think it's awesome that she comes back even to film just a few scenes every season. I really hope we get a lot of her in this final season because she is such a great character.
And it's worth it, you know, because she's her wit, her humor, her sassiness is just a beautiful circle on the group that is Star Trek Discovery. I think the cast is really amazing, and this is their album cover. No,
R.I.P. Arium.
We miss R.I.P. Arium. Yeah, yeah. But I actually love this guy. There's a couple of characters that I'll leave that for the last season. But I think there's going to be some sad surprises with this final season because they got to go out in the bag.
I don't want.
But. With the future Discovery, we got the future ship, which I thought was amazing.
Where yes.
The nacelles don't connect to the ship.
It's like Discovery had a wild, regrettable night with the Tron light cycle and had a baby. And I love it. And I'm going to tell you something right now.
Go for it.
I don't mind that the nacelles don't connect to the ship.
No,
because I like that future starships, or I should say future starships, are weird.
Yeah.
They are weird and wacky, and they don't make any sense because we got 21st century monkey brains, and we don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, why nacelle no connect to ship? It's like getting a caveman saying, why do round thing make car go?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing, and I like it. I don't care. I like it. And it's in continuity because if you ever look at pictures of the Enterprise J, little bitty spindly nacelle struts that barely connect with the nacelle.
Yeah.
It's there. It's the natural progression. And they give a reason we have detached nacelles because it gives us more maneuverability.
Yep.
I mean, and they just straight up say it.
Yeah. If you have to eject the warp core.
No, you got the fans go, but why are they not connected? Because they said so. They said it's more maneuverability. Well, why are they not connected? It's like explaining something to Zoolander.
Oh, you're gonna make a building that people can't even fit into?
Why male models? Why male models?
Oh boy. So the big bad in this season was the Empire of the Orions, which
the Emerald Chain.
The Emerald Chain. This is the first time Orion got a lot of moments in the sun.
Yes. Osira was such a fun villain.
Yeah.
What is her name? Kidder.
Yes.
It's not Margot Kidder.
No.
That's her.
That's Superman.
That's her aunt. Margot Kidder is this actress's aunt. Yeah. Haven't you ever noticed a family resemblance? Well, I cannot remember her first name. But she still looks like Margot Kidder.
Interesting.
She resembles her.
Okay.
She totally does.
I'm not going to argue you.
No, you shouldn't. I wouldn't.
But, And then her lackey that was like always around the Discovery crew. I thought that was an interesting jump. They're trying to get
Kenneth Mitchell. That was Kenneth Mitchell.
Wow, he really.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. He had so many parts on Discovery, and the fact that they kept him coming back up until the point that he couldn't come back anymore was just testament to the family that this series built. Yeah. And whenever he couldn't come back anymore, they named a starship after him.
Right.
USS Mitchell. And yeah. it saves the day. It saves Earth. And I just love that. If you do not love that, you are not human.
Yes.
Just are not.
Yeah, there's something wrong with your synapses.
Exactly.
So when they wrap up season three, we got the reunification, so to speak, of the Starfleet. This is the one where we see all the weird alien species, like the butterfly people.
Oh, the butterfly people were great. Before we go on, I just have to correct myself. The actress's name is Janet Kidder.
Oh, Janet.
Janet Kidder, yes. But she is Margot Kidder's niece.
Wow, that's amazing. So we have a Superman connection to this one.
We do. That's Superman awesome. Connection confirmed.
Yay. Hopefully this cape's involved. But the amazing thing about season three, like I was saying, is the reunification of the Federation, because we had the great Burn story. The burn. We got burned by the burn.
Burn, burn, burn. Dilithium's on fire.
And then we get some new characters, including a transgender character, which I really appreciated. Yes. And I thought that at first I thought the character was losing her mind, their mind rather. And they were seeing a person that I thought was because usually there's a Trill, and usually Trills, you know, they don't see the undead or those of the past on or anything like that. So it was like, oh boy, this poor person seeing a ghost. And then when they get to the weird space where the burn had taken place, the center of the burn, and that person comes to corporeal form, they surprised me again, because now we have another character to the crew that just fits in so perfectly, and they build another dynamic.
And we have to talk about our favorite found family on Discovery, and that is the family of Stamets, Culber, Gray, and Adira.
Yes, Gray and Adira.
They are probably the most non-traditional family I've ever seen, but at the same time, they're the most fully functional, stable family I've ever seen.
Right.
Ian Alexander, Blue Del Barrio, I think they're terrific additions to the cast. Ian Alexander kind of didn't appear in most of the last season episodes, so I really hope that they come back. I enjoy Adira on the ship, and I enjoy their relationship with Culber and Stamets so much. I really love representation is out there. And you know what, if you're the kind of person that gets upset over that, good. Good. That's all I can say. I'm glad you're upset. I really hope it continues.
Yeah, for sure. But I thought they were a lovely addition to the cast, but we also got another Dadmiral, Odette Fair.
Odette. Playing,
yes. Charles Vance, Admiral Vance,
Dadmiral Vance,
Admiral Vance. What a character. He distrusted Discovery because they broke law by temporal travel and was very on the fence about them. And then he kind of like, they proved themselves. So he's like, all right, I guess I got to put you guys back together. Blah, blah, blah. So I just thought there was a lot going on, but everything that's what makes a great show is you have more than one plot line happening at once. And because Discovery is written in the mystery box format where everything is connected and it's not episodic, I think it did a great service by having these multitudes of plots happening all at once, including Tilly kind of connecting with Starfleet and having her moment where she saves the children. Jason. She dials 1-877 cars for kids. K-A-R-S, cars for kids. But I thought it was fantastic, and she takes charge and is just a great character, gets her time to shine. And I thought that that
it's all her evolution, because, you know, right. She did start out unsure of herself and very green. And as the show goes on, she becomes, you know, she becomes the person she is now, the person that she was always waiting for herself to become, you know, strong, right. Capable leader.
Yes.
I love that. I love the evolution of all these characters.
The next season, we're introduced to even more characters after Discovery is welcome to the fold. They save the universe. They save the Burn. Turns out the Burn was, what was that actor's name that played?
I don't know the actor's name. I know we're supposed to be singing Discovery's praises here, but I did not like the resolution of that storyline. It was just like, you're telling me it was a guy who got upset. That's what happened? Really? We're gonna go with that? Okay.
Okie dokie. But we got a good, better resolution. We got Federation back together. All the ships flying in space again. We don't have to worry about him.
Bar is back. And can I just say, I know we're kind of going back and forth. How wonderful was that scene when Michael pulls up that old record of Spock to see who he became? And it's Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
I'm also going to say, Discovery's not set in the Prime Universe because it's an alternate timeline. No, it is. Yeah, it is. Be quiet.
Yeah, they jump into the future, so.
Yeah. No, Discovery's Prime. Discovery's kin. Yep. Get used to it or get fired out of one. I don't care. I'm tired of listening to you whine. Just be quiet.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. Just shut up.
Yeah. Well, the fourth season was one of another mystery box. I thought the payoff was a little bit better, especially because it was very similar to The Arrival, which is one of my favorite sci-fi movies. but we have this force of nature that is absolutely obliterating planets, just destroying planets. What's that?
NDA or the N? I don't remember what they called it. Boy.
Yeah. They got a number that wasn't really.
Yeah, it was a terrifying thing too, just the scale of it and the size of it. And
yeah,
they definitely like nailed the threat of it in, I thought, the most devastating way whenever Quajon was destroyed
right
out from underneath Book, and he loses his brother and he loses his nephew and he loses his entire people. And that scene on Discovery when they bring it up on the view screen and they're looking at it and they're all just in absolute shock because the planet is just shattered right in front of them was heartbreaking. And the way that they followed up on that, because it wasn't something you got over in one episode, the way they followed up on that was just absolutely incredible. And I think that David Ajala did such an amazing job taking Book through his grieving process.
Right.
And I thought it was one of the most real looks at the anger and the frustration and the hopelessness that comes with death.
Right.
And it was incredible. Absolutely.
And it was the inevitable, because there's nothing you could really do about it.
Yeah. There was nothing he could do about it.
Yeah. So it was unbelievable. So we are in the fourth season now. We're chatting about the great mystery of what it is to completely obliterating planets. And then they were able to make contact, but I believe it wasn't through music like in Strange New World. It was through like color codes. Through
flashing lights, yes.
Yeah, it was a light.
And color. Of course, we also get a new character.
What's that?
We get a new character this season.
What's
the character of Zora?
Zora.
Discovery computer.
Yes, that's right.
Which I think her best episode was Stormy Weather.
Hmm.
And Discovery had to go into that anomaly and everything was getting messed up and the computer was Michael Burnham's only companion. And she starts singing Stormy Weather and it's the scariest thing. It was scary. Because this computer's trying to soothe Burnham and there's just nothing outside the view screen. The ship is literally falling apart. and you just get stormy weather. what a great episode.
Right. And we're also introduced to this other character that is plotting with David Ajala to destroy this species.
Yes. Because
he believes it's benevolent. Where in actuality, it was just kind of going, hey, what are you guys doing? It was just reaching out to say hello.
We're just gathering up stuff we need. Don't mind us. Don't mind us. Oh, sorry. Yeah. We knocked your planet out of the way.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. It's just a little on fire.
Yeah. No, don't worry. Well, like, literally on fire. And we are also introduced to the United Federation of Planets president, and we find out that Earth has its own separate ruling system now, and it's become militarized.
Yes.
And we get to meet our, I think she was just wrapping up, Attorney General Stacey Abrams.
Yes, Stacey Abrams as president of the Earth in the 32nd century.
Yes, which I love.
Why not? Why not?
Yeah, frig it. You know, she loves Star Trek. I love Star Trek. If they asked me to be on, I'd be president of whatever.
Absolutely. You want to be president? You know, if I was president of the United States and they're like, hey, you want a cameo on Star Trek? I'd be like, well, I have this arms summit, but you know what? They can wait. What am I going to be? You're going to be an ensign who dies in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Sign me up for anything. Put me in there. Put me in a red shirt. I'm done. But I thought some of the cameos for that season were incredible. I thought the payoff was a lot better because, like I said, the alien species was ginormous and
yes, very cool.
Communication was difficult, and it was very much like the Arrival series movie. I think I don't know if they're gonna make another one of those, but it would be nice if they did because that was a great film. And now that takes us to the future of the future's future, the upcoming season 5, which we can't wait for. And we're going to call this part, because we have no basis of which to stake claim on, the Fire at Will section.
Fire at Will.
Right. So this is all speculation. There's nothing that we're saying that, holds any truth. We're not making up things like some folks did today on the internets, but they always make up stuff on the internets, and that's why you can't trust the internet, kids, said Abraham Lincoln. But Discovery season 5 is upon us. It's starting right after our festival is over on April 4th. There's so much magnificence to it. What happened? You didn't like the Abraham Lincoln joke? Come on, Abraham Lincoln said, don't believe what you read on the internet, because the internet wasn't invented when Abraham.
Don't explain the joke.
If I have to explain the joke, I guess it wasn't.
Don't explain the joke to me. I got it. That's the problem.
Oh, that's the joke. But this
is nice.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. This is the amazing chance for Discovery to go out on a treasure hunt. I believe there's going to be a connection to Next Generation, which is why the Fire at Will segment was kind of spot on.
They're saying it's connected to a Star Trek The Next Generation Easter egg.
Yes.
I have theories on it.
Yeah, we both have theories. Oh, if you say the butt bugs.
I have another theory.
All right, great. What's the other theory?
Well, in the first trailer, we saw a Romulan scout ship from the TNG era.
Yes.
And what was going on in Romulan space during the TNG era that could possibly have ramifications into the 32nd century? The Iconians.
Oh.
It has to do with the Iconians.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I make no guarantees.
We cannot confirm nor deny because we don't have any Paramount Press releases to give us that information. But he believes that it could be. And, you know, I will go ahead and second that as I put my glasses on to seem equally smart. No. But I think that the catalyst of an adventure story as the final season is a very bold move. The show started off being bold by being somewhere beyond Enterprise, but before Kirk, I believe. And I thought that was pretty gusto of them to do that. And then it jumped 900 years in the future, which I thought was another bold move because of what we know of the Temporal Time War. But now we're on an adventure story, and I don't know if there's any big stakes. Do you think that everybody that we know and love in this show will survive?
I think they will.
Oh,
I will tell you why.
Okay.
It's because the writers and producers and actors of Discovery did not know that they weren't getting renewed.
Oh,
so why kill off your characters? If you think if you think you're having a sixth season, why kill off your characters? I think everybody's going to make it through the season in one piece. And I kind of have the feeling that this season's going to be a little bit more lighthearted and a little bit less dark than we've seen. I'm getting that vibe that this is going to be like an Indiana Jones type season.
Yes.
Which I'm all here for.
Me too.
I want to see Discovery lighten up a little bit. I love this show. And you know, I'm not saying that it's doom and gloom all the time. It's most certainly not. But, I mean, we have had a Federation in shambles. We've had, you know, ships exploding for no reason. We've had horrible AIs that want to take over the entire world and universe. We've had Klingons that want to destroy and eat everybody. We have had
an alien species that wanted to say hi but blew up planets.
Yeah, we've had a big alien ball that's like knocking planets around like they're on a billiards table. Let's just have fun. I just want to see fun. And you know what? If they do have some serious themes, like, oh my gosh, the Emerald Chain has gotten the Iconian Gateway, what are we going to do? I'm fine with that.
The Emerald Chain's gone, isn't it?
It is. I just like pulled a.
Rando. Okay. Yeah.
I'm totally. Oh no! Species 10C has got the Emerald Chain, Iconian Gateway, and the Klingons are back. And oh no! Also, I want to see the Klingons in the 32nd century.
I want to see the Klingons. And what's happened to the Borg?
Yeah, I would love to see that. I would love to see like the Jurati Borg. Imagine having Jurati show up.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for having a season without me, by the way. I appreciate that.
I still exist, you know.
Yep. What I think is interesting, though, is that if you look in the background of a lot of the shots from the trailer, you will see the Terran Empire logo from the Mirror Universe as well. So a lot of people are saying that the Mirror Universe is going to factor into this new season as well. I just don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if they do and it's great, awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, speculate until I turn blue, and I probably will. And then they'll do something that's completely different. My luck, they probably will bring back the butt bugs this year.
Oh my God, imagine the villain of season four, the butt bugs. Yes. You see VHS Jason and I going.
Yes, my master wants to say something. Let me lower the comm badge to him.
Surrender now, Discovery! We are the butt bugs!
Oh, yes.
Resistance is futile! Your butt will be assimilated!
Wait a minute. That's a different enemy.
Yeah, well, the 32nd century, they've joined forces with the Borg.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense. Do you foresee any big surprises happening other than possibly the butt bugs? Or the Iconians is a great possibility. Because they're already searching for an ancient artifact.
I think that if anything, speculating with you over the last year on this YouTube channel has taught me that any kind of speculation I make is probably going to be wrong. So whatever they do, I'm sure it's going to be a surprise.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that we're probably going to see some cameos, gratuitous cameos, but cameos nonetheless, and cameos I will enjoy. And the entire season will end with Will Riker walking out on the bridge and saying,
"Oh no."
This will be the first Star Trek series in almost 30 years that is not going to end starring Jonathan Frakes.
Yes. Yeah. And he's directing.
Deep Space Nine. Deep Space
no, he was in it. He was Thomas Riker.
Yeah, but he wasn't in the finale though.
No, right.
Oh, he was not. Never mind, everybody, shut up.
This is also the first Star Trek series in modern time, unless Strange New Worlds decides to bring it back, that didn't have the Borg too.
Yes.
So that's okay. I'm perfectly fine with that.
I love the Borg, but I love them in
small doses. Yeah. Yeah. That's what kind of killed Voyager for me. It was like, we got too much Borg going on here. Let's have other stuff.
Yeah, but you know, in their defense, they were going through Borg space, so it's like if they hadn't run into the Borg, all the fans would be at home going, "Where's the Borg? Discovery ruined Star Trek." Exactly. All I hear when people start complaining.
No, Discovery brought Star Trek back. I think the legacy of Discovery is going to be lingering for a long time. I think it's going to be the Deep Space Nine of our era. I think people are going to look back at this show and go, wow, this was a great show. There's a lot of hitting all the right moments and all the things that are happening in society today. It's given us a reflection that we need to look profoundly upon ourselves and realize that we are all one. We all bleed red on Earth anyway, various other colors for various other species. But, you know, in the end, it's all about bringing people together and bringing different races together. It's about unity. It's about the future and making it bright. And I think that's what Discovery has done. And I think it is the reason why we're getting so many shows. We got Strange New Worlds. We're going to get this Section 31 movie. I almost said Section 31 and a half, which is our interview show. I gotta remember not to say that.
Maybe that'll be the sequel whenever they
Yeah, it's Section 31 and a half. Section 31 and a half. The guy with no legal paper. And of course, the Starfleet Academy show. Do you perceive that we will get any of the Discovery crew in that other than Tilly?
I would be surprised if they don't show up. I really would. At least a few of them. I wouldn't mind seeing Detmer and Awosakun and the often neglected bridge crew of Discovery having bigger parts in there, because they're owed by this point. They are owed.
Yeah. And maybe Michael Chan will show up in.
I'd love to see Michael Chan.
Be on Star Trek.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or David Ajala. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. David Ajala. Or, you know what? The Queen.
The Queen. Grudge.
She needs to be the new superintendent of the.
That's cool. Yeah.
You walk in there and you're just like, yes, Superintendent Grudge. Meow. You're expelled.
They're like subtitles for the cat. Well, I think that is all the time that we have. I think we had a great look back at the several seasons of Discovery. I am super excited for the fifth season, and I am thankful for the friends at Strange New Pod for giving us this opportunity to showcase our voices to the folks over on their channel. All you friends, we are the Captain's Quadrant. There's one person missing, but he was otherwise obligated. But we do have Battle Cat. And Teddy,
she is the queen.
Yes, Battle Cat is the queen. We have a lot of furry friends on the Captain's Quadrant podcast. I have a puppy somewhere, but I don't know where he is. He's probably on the balcony howling at the wind or something. But so much fun is going to be.
Sometimes it's fine.
It's going to be so much fun in the fifth season of Discovery. Be sure you check it out on April 4th, and be sure you like, share, and subscribe to Strange New Pod, and check us out on the Captain's Quadrant over on our YouTube channel and wherever you listen to podcasts.